also, I don't know the times, but I do know that November the 11th, they are airing me on WLMB. I don't know if we announced that. November 11th, and I do know November 14th is a Sunday, and they're airing me on Pastor's Point for WLMB also, and that's going to be at 12:30 p.m., and I'm looking into seeing if we can get it hooked up here, so if we end up staying after, we can just all watch it together on TV here. Amen? Praise God. Turn to Matthew chapter 28. We're teaching, or we're completing the subject on the believer's authority. Amen? Did you learn something Sunday? Was it strong?
Yeah.
My God. Well, I want you to know something right now, you know. Did everybody vote yesterday?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 through 20. Now, we're going to be talking about the believer's authority, but I want you to walk out of here with a mindset that you can accomplish anything tonight. Amen. Why don't you just say that one time? Say, I can accomplish anything in Jesus' name. Well, do you want a scriptural reference? Philippians chapter 4. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen. What does all mean? Everything. I don't care what it is that you're going through, you can be an overcomer. Come on, somebody say amen.
Amen.
I'm going to teach you something tonight. Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 through 20, it says, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Tell your neighbor, say, I'm not a doubter. I'm a believer. And Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all power. How much power?
All.
How much power?
All.
All power. What's left over after all? That means, does the devil have any power?
No.
Come on, let me ask you that again. Does the devil have any power? See, the devil can't have any power if all power has been given unto Jesus. Amen. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. The word power is the Greek word exousia. I taught you that. There's two different types of powers in the New Testament, in the New Covenant. There is exousia, which is speaking of delegated authority. Somebody say delegated authority. That's permissible authority, amen? But the word exousia, watch this, comes from a word existi, which means that this kind of power, it will stand against and it will oppose any presence of hindrance that stands against it. Now, you don't just have any kind of power. You have the same authority that Jesus has. And I'm going to show you. Here Jesus is saying all power is given unto him. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to show you the transfer. Tell your neighbor, say, I'm going to show you the transfer. See, because it's one thing to know that Jesus has all power. But it's another thing to know your authority, your delegated authority as a believer. Amen? Because once you know who you are in Christ, and once you know your rights, your privileges, what you have, it will change the way you think about you, and it'll change the way you perceive or your perception of your circumstances. Amen? You won't always look like the circumstance has power over you. You won't always look like the sickness has power over you. Amen? The disease, the insufficiency, the lack. You won't look at those things like they have power over you. You will know that when you start the fight, you already been set up to win the fight.
All right.
Come on, somebody say amen.
Amen.
Jesus says here, all power. That means Satan don't have any power. And I'm going to show it to you in the word. He has no power. Tell your neighbor, say no power. No power. No power. See, we got to get that because, see, Hollywood, television, amen, even some ignorant preachers, people stood up and told people that the devil has power. I told you guys this story. I visited a church maybe 10, 15 years ago. I've been born again for 20 years come January 8th. But 10, 15 years ago, I visited a church, and it was in this city, amen, and it was of apostolic faith, and I won't go any farther than that. But I went to the church, and I was talking about, you know, some things that God was doing in my life, and the person spoke to me and said, don't say that out loud because the devil might hear you. That's what they told me. Don't say it out loud because the devil might hear you. Well, you shouldn't be concerned about whether the devil hear you or not. Amen. Because it ain't you that's talking anyhow. Matthew chapter 10 teaches us very clearly that when that hour comes, that we will stand before the magistrate or whoever it may be, the judgment in life, that we don't have to fear what we will say in that hour, because it won't be you or I that's talking, but it'll be the Spirit of our Father that speaks in and through us. It's God's anointing on the inside. Come on, somebody say amen. It's the voice of Jesus that the enemy is scared of. And if you can dissolve yourself in the Word of God to the place where you realize that you don't exist no more, and it's Christ in me, the hope of glory, or the expectation of God's reputation and God's appearance, guess what? You don't have to worry about no devil in hell. Come on. Come on, somebody say amen. Glory be to God. I can go home right now. He says, because of this power that's given unto me, 19, he transfers it. Go. Take your name and say, go. Quit sitting on your butt. Quit sitting down complaining. Quit talking about your problem. Go. He said, go therefore. Teach all nations. The word teach is the Greek word which means make disciples. The word disciple is the Greek word mathetes, which means those that adhere to their master's teaching and make it their conduct of living. So what is he telling them to do? The same things that I'm teaching you that you have made your conduct for living, I want you to transfer that same thing to somebody else. Make disciples. Come on, somebody say make disciples. Now, this is what you have to decide. See, true people who walk in their authority as a believer are disciples. Disciples are the only ones that walk in the authority, amen? You can't just walk in the authority of God and don't ever show up to church and don't ever tithe and don't ever give and don't ever pray and don't ever fast. You won't walk in no authority, amen? You're just a knockoff believer. Come on, somebody say amen. You're just a knockoff believer, amen? Oh, man, you better be here Sunday. I'm teaching on the seven pillars over the next 4 weeks. And when I bring out this first one called reverence, I'm going to show that Christians aren't really Christians. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. We're afraid to say Christian nowadays because people don't know what it is to be a Christian. Well, let me enlighten you what it is to be a Christian. If you say, I am a Christian, you say, I am like Jesus. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. Well, Pastor, I thought nobody was like Jesus. That's because some ignorant person stood up and said that. But the Bible says, amen, that those who he foreknew, he did also predestinate that they might be conformed to the image of his dear son, that he might be the firstborn among many that are like him. Come on, somebody say amen. Jesus didn't suffer on the cross so that you and I could stay stuck in our problems. He suffered on the cross so he could bring many sons to glory. What does that mean? Many people that will be just like him, brought into being his image and his likeness, his reputation, his appearance. Amen. I told you before, you and I have been twinned with Jesus. My God. Take your name and say, I got power over the enemy. So you have to be a disciple. He said, make disciples. He didn't say make churchgoers. Come on. He didn't say make pew warmers. He didn't say make Sunday morning saints. He didn't say make sipping saints. Come on, somebody say amen. He said, make disciples. Make disciples. You need to do a word study of what it is to be a disciple. Come on, somebody say amen. Glory be to God. He said, make disciples. Then he said, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the ends of the earth. Now turn to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. Let's look at this transfer again. Luke chapter 10, verse 19. So how much power does Jesus have? All. Now I'm about to show you how he transferred. How much power does Jesus have?
All.
One more time. How much? Okay, now you need to know, he said, I have all power. Don't limit it to just planet Earth. He said, in heaven and in earth. Come on, say that. In heaven and in earth. All power. Now look at verse 19. You ready? Let's read that together on the count of three. One, two, three. Behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Who did he give the power to? Who did he give the power to? Now he said, I give you power over all the power of the devil. Glory be to God. He said, I'm giving you authority over all the power of the devil. Now I told you that this word exousia is not talking about dynamite or explosive power. Okay? It's talking about the kind of delegated authority that a law officer might have. If a law officer was to stand in the middle of 52 or Main Street right now. I don't care if it's right there in the middle of high traffic. 100 cars could be coming this way and 100 cars that way. It could be Mack trucks. It could be John Deere tractors, riding lawnmowers, push lawnmowers, Corvettes. It could be bicycles. I don't care what it is. When that police officer step out in the middle of the thing and hold their hand up, everything coming north, south, east, and west got to do what? Stop. Why? Because they have delegated authority. See, sometimes you don't even need to talk to the devil. When he's in your house, you just need to do this.
Come on.
I just spit on my Bible, didn't I? I rubbed it in. It's the anointing. Amen. You guys got to forgive me because I'm really tired today. But the anointing is good. Somebody say we got delegated authority. Verse 19. I rubbed that spit in right there. He said, I give you power to tread on serpents. You know what the word tread mean? This is powerful. You know what the word tread mean? Anybody got a treadmill? It don't just mean walk. It mean to trample under feet. It mean to subjugate. It means to bring into subjection. See, if your circumstances aren't obeying you yet, then you need to just keep walking on them. You know what my pastor told me to do years ago, and I still practice it now. And guess what? I still have enemies, amen? Sometimes bills can be enemies. Come on, somebody say amen. You know what you need to do? You need to pull your bills out, put them on the floor, and start walking on them. Come on, somebody say amen. You need to take that diagnosis that doctor gave you, put it up under your feet, and start walking on it. Man, see, some things you just got to do by faith. You got to do by faith because the Bible said the just shall live by his faith. See, faith is foolishness to the natural mind. Come on, somebody say amen. If you're doing something like that, it may seem foolishness. I come over your house or some neighbors come over your house and you stand in your middle living room like this on top of your bills. You know what I mean? People going to think something wrong with you. But you know what's going on between you and God. Amen. Somebody say praise the Lord. Mark chapter 16, turn there. This is another one. Mark chapter 16. Who got the power now? Look at your name and say, I got the power. Y'all remember that song back in the day? Oh, I got the power. You got it? Come on, man. I'll mess with y'all. Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 16, verse 14. My bad. Pastors can make mistakes too. Amen. Amen. Look at verse 14. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, they was eating, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart. This is most of the problem in the church today right here. Tell them to say unbelief and hardness of heart. You know what unbelief is, right? Unbelief is you just simply don't believe. Now, let me tell you the cure to unbelief. You know what the cure to unbelief is? Changing the way you think. You got to allow new information into your mindset because belief is a product of your thinking. Amen? Come on. Now, Jesus said that the traditions of man made the word of God of no effect. Amen? Traditions can produce unbelief. Come on. See, one person could be standing there trampling over their bills and everything. Let me just take it back to me. Let's move the trampling over the bills. One person could be standing there and they could write a check for $300, amen, and don't know where anything going to come from. And the next thing you know, we got 100 chairs. You know what I mean? 4 TV carts. I mean, the big tall ones. You know, the ones that got the electric connected to them that you put the TVs on top. Come on, somebody say amen. Not little bitty TVs. I'm talking about big TVs. Amen. Well, I didn't see that in the natural when I gave it, but because I'm living and walking by faith. Come on, somebody say amen. You got to walk by faith. Glory be to God. But you got to change the way you think in order to change your belief system. Amen. And then the second thing is hardness of heart. Somebody say hardness of heart. See, that's where you have just set and etched in stone your belief system, and then you have built bricks and walls around your thinking. And you say, you know what, this is my fortress, and I'm not going to change the way I think, regardless of who come in front of me. Benny Hinn could come here, amen, and cast out 17 devils and raise 5 people from the dead, and you still be standing there dumb, stupid, and ignorant because you don't want to believe it, amen? Somebody say, praise God. Man, I ain't never heard no pastor talk like that. It's all good. Watch this right here. He said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved or made whole. But he that believeth not shall be damned. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they what? Cast out devils. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor. Devils are still being casted out. And people who believe that, though. Because, see, you need to know this right here. See, nowadays we medicate demons. Come on, somebody say amen. Nowadays we can't determine or understand what it is that's messing with the kid or messing with the mind of the adult. So what do? We give them Vicodin and Vicodin and Percodin and Percodin. And come on, somebody say amen. And what we do is we medicate devils. But what they really need is a good butt whooping and a Bible. That's what they need. They amen. They don't need no medicine. They need a butt whooping and a Bible. Amen. I got some medication. You know, when I was, I told y'all the story. When I was like 11 years old, I tried to put that thing on my parents, my stepfather, my mother, and I got to the door. I was lying and everything. I had my whole story figured out. When I got to the door, I'm like, Mama, she like, Marcus, you know what to do. He grabbed me, took me to that bedroom and gave me some medication. Hey, he whooped me till my nose started bleeding. You ever had one of them kind of whippings? You know when they start off with the stick and then the stick keep breaking, then they throw it down on the ground and say, son of a bee, and then start whooping you with their hands. And then, come on, somebody say amen. You ain't never had one of them whippings? That's what's wrong with some folk today. They need one of them whippings. Come on. They need one of them whippings, don't they? They need one of them backyard whippings, them kind where you go out there and you torture. Boy, get out there in that yard and get me that limb off that tree. They didn't say switch. Get me that limb off that tree right there. Bring that limb here. And then Grandmama T, she grabbed that limb by the top and she put her hand, she go pa-da-da-da-da-da and put, come on, somebody say amen to this. And then that thing hit you on that leg and wrap around your leg like you Zorro or something. Come on, somebody say amen. See, man, I'm preaching good. Come on. Eighth grade, I was in Condon Middle School in Detroit, Michigan, and Coach Larry Pierce, he coached for Southwestern, but he was my basketball coach and my math teacher in the eighth grade, amen? And Coach Larry Pierce, them kids be out there fighting, and I be out there fighting, amen? And he had a paddle, and it said Board of Education on it, and it had holes on the board. Come on, somebody say amen. Get a load of hand clap of praise. After we got done duking out in the hallway like that, he said, okay, now line up against the locker. And line up, and then he pulled that thing back, and you can hear the ear, the wind whistle through the holes. Pah! Hit your butt. Come on. See? That's how you cast out a devil right there. Amen. But see, we want to medicate devils. We want to sit down in the room, you know, with the chair, you know, with our glasses on. Come on. With our legs crossed like this, with our little notepad, and say, how long have you been having these feelings? What happened to you in your childhood? Did your mother abuse you? Did your father abuse you? No, what it is, you need to cast that devil out. Come on, somebody say amen. Here you go. Glory be to God. Matthew chapter 18, verse 18. Turn there. This feel comfortable right here. Man, this is good. We just having Bible study, right? Is that all right? Y'all learning something tonight? Come on, give Jesus some praise. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, I don't know if you know, but you got power. Jesus gave you authority over all the power of the devil. My God. Matthew 18 and 18. You want another one? 18 says, verily I say unto you. Look at your neighbor and say, he talking to you. Whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now, let me just, these right here are legal terms. The word binding means to bind, means to pronounce binding or obligatory. It means that it's a legal legislation. Whatever you legislate, see, you are a lawgiver and a lawmaker according to the word of God. Jesus is saying whatever you bind will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose will be loosed in heaven. What is he trying to say? When you agree with his word and you begin to pronounce something as binding and obligatory, all heaven backs you up. You know you got angels, right? Some people, angels, like I usually say, are unemployed. We need to teach on angels. We're going to teach on angels because there you really do have angels. I know you watch Touch by an Angel, but it's a little bit different. You have angels, amen? Come on, somebody say Jesus. See, you got angels. You have warring angels that are there to minister on behalf of you because you are an heir of salvation. Hebrews 1 and 14. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister to them that are heirs of salvation? When they took Jesus into custody, Jesus basically told him, he said, look here, if I wanted to get up off this cross, I could. He said, I can call thousands of angels or legions of angels to come and rescue me. But he was doing the Father's will. See, you have legions of angels that are at your beckon and at your call, according to the word of God. Psalm 103 and Hebrews 1 and 14. When you employ them through the words of your mouth, not negative words, but God's word, amen? The Bible said they hearken and they excel in strength, hearkening to the voice of God's word, amen? Amen. And I'm not teaching on angels, but whatever you bind. See, you got to start binding and loosing. Now, in the context of this scripture, it's talking about forgiveness. Amen? Now, why did I bring out forgiveness? Because you can't bind nothing supernatural if you can't deal with something as natural as forgiveness or forgiving somebody. Come on, somebody say amen. In Mark chapter 11, the Bible says, when you stand praying, amen, when you begin to pray, he said, make sure you don't have unforgiveness in your heart. He said, because if you have unforgiveness in your heart, your prayers are going to be null and void. Come on, somebody say amen. Glory be to God. In 1 Peter, he tells the husband that if you got issues with your wife and you don't know how to dwell with her according to knowledge, your prayers will be hindered. Lord have mercy. Amen. Y'all learn something? Look at John 14 and 12. This is so powerful right here. You know, we read this one right here and we just skip over it. We skip over it. We're not going to skip over it tonight. You learning something tonight? You know what this will make you do? It'll make you go home and it'll make you just start binding, loosing. Amen. It's a lifestyle of faith. Amen. Do you know the devil don't sleep? Demons don't sleep. They don't be like, man, I work 8 hours a day. I didn't think my boss is ever going to let me off. I need some sleep. Devils don't sleep. Come on. That's why when we go to sleep sometime at night, we have illegitimate dreams because they don't sleep. I'll tell you a true story, whether you believe it or not. I was in my apartment in Ypsilanti, Michigan, when I was a youth pastor. I was just installed as a youth pastor, and my wife and I had a townhouse apartment. And my wife was reading this book called Divine Revelation of Hell. You ever read it? The lady's from Belleville. Her name is Mary Kay Baxter, I think it is. And she wrote this powerful revelation she had of hell. Amen. And my wife was laying down sleeping, and I had began to read the book. And I've been praying and fasting a lot because I was seeking God to try to find out his plan for my life. I'm talking about hours, 6 hours at a time. I'd be at home praying and fasting. And listen what happened. I laid down in the bed about 3 o'clock in the morning. A voice spoke to me in my ear, and it was so loud I could hear the air. I could feel the air on my ear. I said, what are you going to do with the power of God? That's what the voice said to me. See, devils don't sleep. Now, whether you believe it or not, they exist. The Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, rulers of darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. Come on, somebody say amen to this. See, you thought you was fighting with your husband, and you thought you was fighting with your grandmama or your mama or your next door neighbor. Amen. Come on, somebody say amen. Glory to God. That's some good teaching right there. John chapter 14, verse 12. Look at what Jesus said right here. Verse 11 said, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. And then 12, he said, verily, verily. You know the word verily, verily mean? It means truthfully. Truthfully, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And what? Greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. What kind of works are you going to do? Greater works. You got to get up in the morning and say, you know what? I am able to do greater works today. Now, not just because of technology, we can do greater works. We can minister to people by email today. Jesus couldn't do that. Jesus had to walk, amen. We can drive our car, amen. Some of us lazy. We get a car, you get a SUV and won't pick nobody up for church, amen. Jesus would walk from one city to the next city. Come on, somebody say amen. Now, that's natural works that can be considered greater, but he was also speaking of the fact that, think about this right here. I don't know how many people Jesus raised from the dead, but I don't think Jesus raised 21 people from the dead, but Smith Wigglesworth did. Come on, somebody say amen. Don't get scared. Smith Wigglesworth raised 21 people from the dead. You don't believe me? Google it. Google him. 17 of them was documented in history. Amen. Maria Woodworth Eder, she would stand up and she would levitate off of the podium. I don't know how many people they raised from the dead, healed of cancer. We were just talking about Jack Cole, when Jack Cole grabbed the cancer off the person's face and it dropped on the ground. Come on, somebody say amen. Well, I thought that was for the apostles. No, that's for us right now. Greater work shall we do because he went to the Father. Come on, somebody. Greg, say amen to this. Y'all want another one? Let me give you one more and then we can close the door. Let's look at Ephesians 4:27. This is one of my most favorite ones. This is for those people that just believe that the devil is this big muscle-bounded guy, you know what I mean, with horns and big long teeth, you know what I mean? Amen. Ephesians 4:27. This scripture right here is so powerful. You know, you ready? I want you to think about it before I give it to you. You ready? This is powerful. You ready? Let's look at verse 26. It says, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Look at verse 27. Let's read it together. 1, 2, 3. Neither give place to the devil. Now, you know what the word place means in the Greek? It means geographical location. You and I have the ability to not give him any place on planet Earth. He's an outlaw spirit. Come on, somebody say amen. Listen, don't give him place in your marriage. Don't give him place with your children. Don't give him place on your television. Don't give him place in your radio in the car. Do you know the Bible calls him the prince of the power of the air? When you driving down the street listening to 50 Cent. For some of y'all, y'all don't understand that, but death and life is in the power of your tongue. Not just your tongue, but somebody else's tongue could be speaking death into your life. Come on, somebody say amen. Maybe it ain't 50 Cent. Maybe it's Hank Williams. Maybe it's Teddy Pendergrass. I don't know who it is. You know, maybe it's, what's that guy? Don't break my heart, my achy, breaky heart. Amen. See, if it ain't life, then it's what? It's death. And you have to not give the devil no geographical location in your life. Amen. Now, did I say it was going to be easy? No. Do you think it's going to be easy for those guys who's going to be playing against us in flag football? No. Not at all. It's not going to be easy at all. Amen. We're going to be out there looking like Skittles. Black, white, Hispanic, and everything all together on one team. And the pastor's like 260 pounds. And I'm coming down. Hey, if we ain't playing tackle, they're going to be like, look like he was coming to tackle me. We're going to make it look like that. Amen. Amen. Somebody do that right there. You got to do that to the devil. Amen. Tell your name. Say, don't be scared. I'm going to give you one more and then we're going to be done. You got one more? One more in you?
One more.
Ephesians chapter 1. This is so powerful right here. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 16. This you should be praying every single day. But you can see the transfer of authority right here happening. Amen. There's some good teaching tonight, ain't it? Come on, give the Lord a hand clap. Amen. I ain't jumping around, spitting, and you know what, though? I can't stand on these chairs right here, though. Oh, man. I'm back in business now. Y'all remember when we first started the church? I run up there and jump. Somebody be trying to, you ain't going to sleep on me. I'm gonna jump right there between you. Amen. Stand on top of the chair and grab you by the head. Wake up. Jesus' name. I ain't no boring preacher. You better cut that out. What's wrong with you? Apostle Paul said, I cease not to give thanks for you. Verse 16, make it mention of you in my prayers that the God I'm going to talk to you some real powerful stuff right here, so you got to catch this. He said, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, God has some secret knowledge. God's knowledge is not hidden from you. God's knowledge is hidden for you. God's knowledge is not hidden from you. See, some people make you think it's you got to try and find God. No. It's hidden for you. Come on, somebody say amen to this. Okay? The knowledge of God. Watch this right here. It says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Now, he's not talking about your natural eyes. He's talking about the eyes of your understanding. Now, if you take the word understanding and you translate it, it's translated in the Greek as heart. Okay? Now, the word heart is translated cardia, which is where we get the blood pumper heart from. But it's not talking about your spirit, because we messed up with that right there. Not talking about your spirit. It's talking about your intellect. Somebody say your intellect. Talking about your mind. The eyes of your mind. So your mind has to be open to be able to see things God's way. So in order to see things God's way, the Apostle Paul is praying that you have this spirit of wisdom and of revelation. See, that's the problem. Most believers live based upon information. We fiddle-faddle with intellect and information, and we touch things that are only surface, but God wants you into the realm where he is, the realm of revelation, amen, the realm where truths are uncovered. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. He's not hiding them from you, he's hiding it for you. He said this right here, the eyes of your heart being flooded with light or being enlightened, that you may know, somebody say no. The word know is an intimate word, that you may be intimately acquainted with what is the hope or the expectancy of his calling. See, God called you before you was in your mother's womb. And you have to be intimately acquainted with the expectation of that calling. That means that you have to value an intimate, close, personal relationship with God and his word. Because God's word is what unveils those hidden secrets and those truths. Amen. We going somewhere. He said that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. He said the inheritance of glory is in you and I. Come on. Say this right now. Say right now, in me is the inheritance of glory. Well, what does the word glory mean? It's the Greek word doxa. It means the reputation and the appearance of God, the sum total of all that God is. God ain't out here some big puff of cloud sitting on top of a brick throne with a sword in his hand and a jackhammer in the next one ready to smack you upside the head. God is on the inside of you. He's on the inside of believers. Jesus talked to him in Luke chapter 17. He said this right here. He said, when men may come to you and say, look here, look there. He said, don't pay no attention to them. He said, the kingdom of God, God's rule and reign in and through mankind is on the inside of you. So the truths and the mysteries and the secrets of God are already in you, but you need wisdom and you need revelation to uncover them. We're going somewhere. That means you can't just be a surface Bible reader. You just can't be talking about, nah, lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord to wash my feet. You can't be praying like that. You can't be a surface person. Oh, Jesus, I hope and I pray that maybe one day. You can't be praying like that. You got to get his word in your spirit and get that thing in your mind until it dominates you so that you can obtain that wisdom, because his word is wisdom, and that revelation. Somebody say revelation. 19, and what is the exceeding? This is, oh my God. This right here, this verse right here, you just go home. You don't need no more Bible scriptures after reading this verse. He said, and what is the exceeding greatness? That means that this right here exceeds just great. The exceeding greatness of his what? Power. Delegated authority toward us who what? Believe. See, some people can't operate in this kind of power because they just don't believe that they have it. You know why? Because they don't have wisdom and revelation, because they don't value the word. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. You getting this, Greg? Glory to God. Greg is getting it, y'all. Give Greg a hand clap. He said, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. Now, if you look at this language at this church, you should notice, if you look at this language, he's talking about Jesus being resurrected. But you can't talk about resurrection until you first talk about death and burial. Okay? So he's telling you, I need you to look at what happened when Jesus died. When Jesus died, you guys know what happened. You died and you were assimilating into the body of Jesus. You became one with Jesus. Jesus raised from the dead. In the mind of God, you raised up together with him, having obtained equal authority, equal power, equal dominion. That's what the word right hand means. Come on, somebody say amen to this. Do you know what the word right means? I mean, let me just say this. I'm not being biased or anything, but black people should know what rights mean. Come on, somebody say amen. Do you remember the whole civil rights movement? People remember that. My wife is white, for people who don't know. Say, pastor's wife is white. I'm not racial at all, but I'm trying to bring a point. I'm trying to show you something, okay? Now, in the civil rights movement, they had a fight against them. But they continued to fight because they knew they had a right to what they were looking for. They were looking for equality. See, most believers won't fight for what belongs to them because they don't believe they have a right for it. See, you have a right to have a good marriage. You have a right to drive the best. You have a right to live in the right house. You have a right. Come on, somebody say amen. You have a right not to be sick. Glory be to God. If I die, I want to die like Wigglesworth. I want to die 90-something years old, sitting in a recliner, fall asleep and die, and everybody come in there and see me in peace. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. I don't want to die laying up in no bed with cancer eating my body up. I got a right not to die like that. You got a right not to die like that. Glory be to God. Amen. He said, far above principality, power, might, dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and has put all things under his feet, and gave him, Jesus, to be the head over all things to the church. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, we are the church. Say that again, we are the church. Say it again, we are the church. Now he's going to tell you who the church is, okay? Say it again, we are the church. 23, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. You can close your Bibles tonight in Jesus' name. Tell your neighbor, say, you are the fullness. The word fullness means you are the completion or the completement, okay? It means that Jesus wasn't finished. His work that's being finished is being done in and through you and I. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Okay? So just look at this right here. Stand to your feet. Those little circumstances and stuff that you're going through, I say this all the time. I think it was Nietzsche that said it. Whatever don't kill you makes you stronger. Yeah. Those little circumstances that you and I go through, they are nothing but resistance to build our faith muscles. Amen? Yeah. Do like this. Come on. Just do like that. See, some of you have been through some things that, guess what? You didn't have to go through them. Or maybe you just didn't want to go through them. Amen? Half the time when I go through stuff, I don't be wanting to go through that mess. Come on, somebody say amen. Don't nobody want to go through it, but guess what? The outcome of it is this right here because it's beautiful. The outcome is beautiful because when you cross over to the other side, I got to give you one more. Just stay there. You ain't got to. One more. 1 John chapter 5. This is so powerful. This scripture is so powerful. Because see, we go to church and people teach us defeated messages. They teach us that, you know, maybe one day when Jesus, you die and go to heaven, and when you get there, gonna have a mansion. I hate to tell you this, y'all, but ain't nobody got no mansions in heaven. If you read the actual Greek language, it's not talking about houses. He's talking about his house, the church. He said, in my residence are many dwelling places. He said, this is taking too long to teach you. He said, I go to prepare a place for you that where I am, you may be there also. So the place he was going to prepare, he was already there. Come on, somebody say amen. He said that where I am, you may be there also. And then he gets down to John 17 and tell you where the place was. He said, no man cometh to the Father but by me. The place that he was preparing for you and I was oneness with the Father again. Come on, somebody say amen. Everybody waiting to get to heaven to get their mansion. You better pull out your hammer now. Come on. What does that do? That gets your mind into the pie in the sky. I'll fly away, oh glory. I'll fly away. Amen. Then you miss the whole reason why you're on earth. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. Look at that. I didn't write it. For whatsoever, somebody say whatsoever, is born of God. Are you born of God? Whatsoever born of God overcometh what? The world. Overcometh the world. You know what the word overcome means? It means to subdue and bring into divine order. Whoever is born of God has the ability to bring into divine order this world system. That's what you're here for. You're here to change the world. You are a world changer. And you're going through circumstances not because God is trying to change you. Because once you change you and you get that big old plank out of your eye, you can see clearly how to get that speck out of somebody else's eye. See, God is changing you. He's allowing your problems to perfect you. Come on, somebody say amen. He's standing right there because he know, baby, you can do it. I don't care what obstacle you've been going through. Guess what? If you're born of God, you are an overcomer because you have authority right now over all the power of the enemy in Jesus' name. Amen. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. And who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. Do you believe Jesus, Son of God? Raise your hand. Come on, come on, come on. Then you are a world overcomer. You are a world changer. You are a world shaker. You are a world mover. No weapon that has been formed against you can prosper. Whatever you bind on earth, baby, is bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. Come on, somebody say amen. That's the way you got to think about yourself. Amen. Amen. Close your eyes just for a minute. If you're in this room, amen, and you need prayer,